This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's time for Anthea to give us the latest.
She works hard for the money. No hard for the dirty. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
It's a different version every week.
She works hard for the money.
Here she is.
So hard for the money.
Oh, yeah, Anthea.
I think that's my favorite.
Do you like this one the most?
I love that. Who is that?
Shy Boy. That's what it's called.
What a great name.
Shy Boy. She works hard for
that's
money.
That's very cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we
Thank
are.
Thank you.
Do we try and find you a different version so it makes you know, your day start a little nicer than
it's
if you hear
working.
The same horrible song over and over again? Well, how are we looking on Friday? Should we start with that?
Okay. So Friday, the market was up about 0.5%. Volumes were very light, only $1.1 billion traded. So there goes my theory, higher volumes on a higher market. So a couple of things pushed the market up. Industrials, dual listeds were up. Stellar Capital was up again.
Thank
this
goodness.
Is just unbelievable now, okay, quite frankly.
But should we be anticipating leveling out or a drop?
So either it's going to level out.
I mean, what's fueling this?
Or somebody knows something that we don't, and there's an announcement coming shortly.
Either way, if you hold these shares right now, you're happy.
Just hang on to them.
Okay.
I mean, we've been holding on to it for long. It's
such
worth
a long time.
I know. Patience, eh? And then MTN. MTN's had such a rally. It's up 11% last year. Now, this we can explain, though, because Bertoumen Schleko, who took over as CEO or executive chair, whatever it was, when Sifiso Dabengwe left, when this deal, Nigerian fine, was announced, he started making noises about the fact that he might leave, which means that people are suspecting that this fine story issue is coming to conclusion, because he said he'd step in until it had all been sorted out. Now that he's saying he's leaving, obviously no replacement, still no news on a new CEO, but I guess it's just speculation. Resources were a bit of a lag on Friday. Not surprised, though, because in the afternoon, the news on the mining charter came out saying that mines were obliged to be 26% black-owned at all times. So this discussion about once empowered, always empowered, obviously, is not standing. You have to be empowered. And foreigners don't really like this sort of thing because, you know, they worry about it.
Yeah. And they don't care about our local politics. And they don't care who owns the mines, as long as they own them, will get the profits they want from them.
The irony, of course, is if you were BE Invest and you were holding mines, you'd be poorer for it in the last 5 years. So it's another story. And on the subject of mines, actually, we should talk about Patrice Motsepe, who has announced the launch of a company called African Rainbow Capital.
Yes.
It's an investment holding company. He's funding it with 18 billion rand of his own money. You're right, buddy.
Don't worry, that 18 billion rand just fell out of his pocket when he was walking down the street. And he said, I know what I should do with this.
Wow.
He may not put it all in cash. He may leverage up a little bit. He said he'd put 10 billion rand initially, if that makes you feel any better, Mabali.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
People are calling it the black version of PSG, actually, because it's an investment holding company. The irony, of course, is that he has ex-CEO of Nedbank, Tom Boardman, and former CEO of Sanlam, Johan van Zyl, running the company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So some top dogs, right? So very smart people. So it's himself. Patrice. He's a beneficial owner. Boardman and van Zyl have put in money, and then Patrice's kind of community broad-based trust, Ubuntu Botu, it's called. And they've already done a couple of deals. So they've bought into Indwe Broking Services, Metro Fiber Networks, and a company called PayProp, which does almost like conveyancing or transactional business for properties.
Okay.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. It's a lot of money to be spending. There's also speculation about whether or not he'll buy some of Barclays. He's obviously not going to buy the entire stake that Barclays are selling, but there is speculation that he might buy some of it.
And you see, I suppose when you start something in the financial sector, there's endless room to move.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, the market will accommodate as much as possible.
Oh, there's definitely enough. That's for sure. He won't be short of deals. In fact, I imagine he's had a lot of emails this weekend. But he says it's a financial investment business, but I don't think he's solely focused on financial businesses. You know, pay prop is.
Well, they
but
can
Metro Fibre's
they
not.
They can invest in anything.
Yeah.
But the point is that he's obviously, he's looking at the future too and saying, I don't want to be so dependent on mining.
Yep, that's exactly right, eh? Yeah, big changes there. The Rand's holding out quite nicely, 14.67 to the dollar on this morning, 16.53 to the euro. So it's a while since it's been under 17 for so long. Still not under 20 to the pound, though, 20.75 this morning. And then what else? We had, the ICT sector. So what do they call it? What does that stand for? Something, internet communications?
Something like that.
Communications technology, information communications technology. There we go. So first of all, Asher Bobbitt, who's the CEO of EOH, which is a company I hold, shares I hold, company I like, continues to go on a shopping spree. He made a voluntary announcement last week that they're buying 100% of a company called Aptronix for 194 million rand. So the same strategy as always. He's paying half cash and half EOH shares. And he's doing it over 2 years, and he's putting in profit warranties. So he's not going to buy all of the company until or unless they meet their profit warranties, basically. I think in the 2 years, it's about post-tax $65 million that they need to make, this Aptronix. So doing quite well. EOH, it hasn't done that well of late. I mean, in the last year, it's down 11%. It should kind of – I like the company.
Yeah.
Granted, in the last 5 years, it's up about 600%. But I think investors are just worried that he can't do the deals as well as he has or as cheaply as he has done in the past. So maybe that's why the share is languishing.
Okay.
Potentially, another reason the share is languishing is because this sector is just fraught with all sorts of nonsense, really. There's more drama unfolding. So on Thursday, Dimension Data, the news broke that Dimension Data have named 13 companies and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development in an application that they brought to the High Court.
To do what?
Basically, Dimension Data are saying that these 13 companies and the Department of Justice did not go through the tender process properly for court recording technology. So they were awarded a tender, but something's fishy about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that Datacentrix, the two listed companies, Datacentrix and Pinnacle, both of them fell over 7%. In fact, both of them went into something we called volatility auction. So you can imagine, we are trading on a daily basis, sort of every second of every day, and you have a bid and an offer. And if the new traded price is too far away from the last traded price, then it goes into something called volatility auction, and shares stops trading. So the JSE stops trading in those shares. I think for Datacentrix and Pinnacle, it's about 8%. I mean, sometimes it's great because people have finger trouble. So you can imagine if a share's kind of, if you're bid 10 Rand and somebody's offered 11 and somebody's offered 12, 13, nothing happens because there's no matching price. But if you suddenly, as the bidder, buyer, decide you want to trade at 10.50 and instead of 10.50 you put in 105 Rand, it'll take it right up. Like, it'll trade all the way through all those offers on the screen, and that could cause a bit of drama, and it has in the past, actually. call it finger trouble.
And there's no way back from it, though.
So it depends on the situation and whether or not the people on the other side are happy to reverse it. So if you were trying to sell these shares at, say, 20 Rand and you were just hopeful that something could potentially happen and it's an offer you've had in there for, I don't know, weeks or whatever, and somebody suddenly bought your shares at 20 Rand, do you really want to reverse it?
No.
There you go. So it's kind of, it's all dependent on what the JSE says and whether or not the seller is willing to do it. So the problem with Datacentrix and Pinnacle is that in 2014, Pinnacle, in fact, had another problem. And it's one of, for me, it's one of those, do you remember where you were days? Because on my birthday in 2014, and we were in an investment meeting, and news broke that one of the Pinnacle directors had been arrested for bribing somebody.
Jeez.
The share fell. I don't know. It fell by like, I don't know, 60% or something within minutes. Like it was just, nobody was going to put up with it. And it actually just never recovered. So that's the problem with this pinnacle.
People, you know, it's amazing. People really don't like collusion, bribery, corruption. They don't like it. They don't want to invest money in it. They don't want anything to do with people who do it.
Definitely. And I was talking to somebody about this ICT sector. Why is it happening so much there? But if you think about it, so to be a computer seller, like what do you need? You don't need a license. You're not regulated by anybody.
No.
The barriers to entry are quite low, right? So you buy a few computers and you unsell them. And then because there's so much competition, how do you get a competitive edge?
Yeah.
You bribe somebody? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, clearly that's what happens. Yeah. But speaking of things that are perhaps a little dodgy, what do you have for us on Oak Bay?
So on Friday, it was finally announced that this Oak Bay Resources, which is the listed entity of Oak Bay Investments, the Gupta family-owned business, they finally concluded the Optimum Mine deal. So they finally bought Optimum Coal.
Business as usual.
Basically, it is, I'm afraid. So they paid two billion rand for it. So Oak Bay Resources is listed. The share's down about 31% since the Guptas apparently left the country. But not because it's worth only falling 31%, but I think because no shares trade, it just doesn't trade. So
right.
If you're a seller, if you own these shares, and by the way, there are 722 shareholders in Oak Bay Resources. 80% of Oak Bay Resources is owned by Oak Bay Investments, which is the big holding company. And then there's like all these arbitrary shareholders. So there's some people with like 52 shares in Oak Bay Resources. I imagine what they did was they gave staff shares.
Okay.
Well, 52 shares at like what? It's now trading at about 18 rand a share.
You not very valuable.
No, exactly.
Dudu Zanezuma part of that?
I looked. I didn't actually see his name. I suspect he's a holder in Oak Bay Investments, the holding company, not
right.
The resources listed part company.
Right.
So you wouldn't see his name on the shareholder register because it's not listed.
But you're right to say when they apparently left, because nobody seems to know where the Guptas are. Even though a witness did say that
really?
He's... Yeah. Even though a witness said that they spotted them leaving Lanseria Airport with a whole lot of luggage, nobody knows where the three brothers are. A number of different publications have even gone to the estate in Saxonwold to interview some of the security guards, and one of the guards said, I don't know where they are because cars keep coming in and out of this place, but we don't know who is in the cars because they're all tinted. Nobody knows where these guys are.
Wow, what kind of... I mean, it's
they
like...
They could be absolutely anywhere in the world. They could even be here still.
It's like a shadow government.
It's unbelievable.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Jeez. All right.
So, there you go. Yeah.
Okay, but they've basically fallen from 2675 to 1850.
That's right, yeah.
Within...
Five days of trading. And then they didn't trade at all on Friday. Like, not a single share traded on Friday.
Really?
The day before, five shares traded. So nobody wants to buy these shares. For it to trade, not only do you have to have a seller, you have to have a buyer. So people are really staying away. Huh?
Dead quiet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a company and you're listed and nobody's playing with your shares, does that affect you?
Not really, no. I mean, it seems to hold its value, because if it was trading, I think it would fall much further. You know, if there were any bids and people were prepared to sell at the absolute low price, it would trade and the share would actually crystallize that loss.
Mm.
But at the moment, just nothing's happening. And so the company's worth about 20 billion rand, that actual listed entity.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so there you go. A little bit of news on our Oak Bay.
20 billion.
Yeah. And that's just one of the companies. That's just the resources part of it.
So these guys could be a lot richer than we think.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
In fact, they definitely are.
Undoubtedly so. I have no idea what Sahara Computers, that's theirs as well, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that's valued at. So all the shares that are not listed, we can't actually tell.
ANN7, New Age, they're not very profitable though, right?
Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And then just oil producers meeting in Doha, anything on that?
Nothing. That was a non-event this weekend. We were all excited about it last weekend. We waited and oil rose because we thought they were going to put a cap on production. and nothing.
Nothing.
So first of all, Iran didn't even pitch up for the meeting.
Oh, nice.
And then Saudi said, well, in that case, we're not capping production because they're not even here. And until they do, we won't. And Iran don't want to, and nothing. So actually, the problem now is that oil, well, for us, it's great, right? Because oil prices are going to come off.
Right.
In fact, they have already fallen 6% this morning. But then Asian stocks are lower on the back of that as well. Energy stocks, oil producers, oil stocks that are listed are all lower this morning. So I think the market might come off a bit this morning.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye. And you'll keep an eye and you'll let us know.
I shall.
Thank you so much, Anthea Gardner. That's the Money Shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.